our Old Testament reading, Psalm 23. Let's read it in unison. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then our New Testament reading, John chapter 14, just a brief reading from the New Testament. We'll read verses 15 through 17. In the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 570. Hear now the reading of the Holy Gospel. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The word of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The message this morning has really just one point, and it's the title of the message kind of captures it, and the title is the Lord your shepherd? Psalm 23 is arguably the most well-known and beloved of all the Psalms. It was written about 1000 B.C. by King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The writer describes God as his shepherd, protector, and provider. It portrays the Lord, the very first word of the psalm in the Hebrew. It portrays the Lord, the one true and living God, and the God of his people, as a good shepherd, feeding and leading his flock. The shepherd imagery pervades the entire psalm. For instance, in the phrase, the rod and the staff. The rod and staff are implements of a shepherd, used to ward off enemies or beat up an enemy, the rod, and then also used to rescue a sheep that has gotten into trouble. Well, the shepherd's staff deserves more explanation. I think we've all seen pictures of a shepherd's staff. Generally, in ancient Israel, the shepherd made his own staff. He chose a sapling, and he began to whittle and carve it until it was to his specifications. But a staff is a long and slender stick, often with a crook or hook on one end. Philip Keller, a shepherd who has written at length about shepherding in relation to the Bible, describes how a shepherd will use his staff to care for his sheep. He will use his staff to gently lift a newborn lamb and bring it to its mother if they become parted. He does this because he does not wish to have the ewe reject her offspring if it bears the odor of his hands upon it. The staff is used by the shepherd to reach out and catch individual sheep, young or old, and draw them close to himself for intimate examination. The staff is also used for guiding sheep. Again and again, he writes, I have seen a shepherd use his staff to guide his sheep gently into a new path, or through some gate, or along dangerous, difficult routes. the tip of the long, slender stick is laid gently against the animal's side, and the pressure applied guides the sheep in the way the owner wants it to go. Thus, the sheep is reassured of its proper path. Another common occurrence was to find sheep stuck fast in a labyrinth of wild roses or brambles, where they had pushed in to find a few stray mouthfuls of green grass. Soon the thorns were so hooked in their wool they could not possibly pull free. Tug as they might, only the use of the staff could free them from their entanglement. End quote. Well, the rod and staff language of Psalm 23 reveals something about God. It reveals that God is the protector and caretaker of his sheep. He knows each of his sheep by name. He leads them to green pastures and still waters for their nourishment. He protects them from enemies that would have them for a meal. And he keeps them close to himself, so that they enjoy all the blessings of a relationship with the one who truly cares for them. It is impossible to rightly understand this psalm without remembering that it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Jesus is described as the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. Jesus is moved with compassion because the multitudes fainted and were scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Christ is the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He is not a hireling who doesn't really care for the sheep, but rather he's the owner of the sheep who gives his very life for them. He is the good shepherd who intimately knows each one of his sheep. His sheep are drawn from all humanity, Jew and Gentile. With his powerful voice, he brings them to himself, so that at the end of time, there shall be, in the words of Christ, one fold, one shepherd. He is the great shepherd who is in an eternal, irrevocable covenant with his sheep by virtue of his own precious blood, which he has shed for them on the cross. At the final judgment, he will separate all people from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. This New Testament language is intentional, and if one ignores it, he cannot properly understand Psalm 23. Christ is the shepherd of Psalm 23. Those who preach and teach in the church are under-shepherds who are directly responsible to Christ, the chief shepherd. And their ministry is only valid insofar as they faithfully preach and teach the word of Christ. Under-shepherds have no authority to preach or teach the opinions and ideas of men. A preacher or teacher who preaches doctrines that are foreign to Christ is to be rejected. In John 10, verse 14, let me read it for you, Christ says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." This verse expresses the precious truth that the good shepherd intimately knows each one of his sheep. He never gets confused or mixes them up. Sometimes we might see a person that we haven't seen for a long time, and we might do a double take, and we might think, "Is that really you?" And it's possible we might mix up a person. We might think that someone is actually a person we knew a long time ago, and that wasn't the person at all. But God never gets confused. He never mixes up his sheep. And when you pray, your requests ascend to the Father, and he keeps track of them. He never mixes them up. He never forgets a one. He has a unique plan and purpose for each of his sheep. My daughter has two cats. They are sisters. They look a lot alike, and I cannot tell them apart. But they have very different personalities. One is likely to run away and hide when there are visitors in the house. The other likes to come up close and get acquainted. He likes to rub up against my leg or jump up on the couch next to me and rub up against my arm or something like that. Well, one of the cats has a mean streak and bit me once when I was petting her. Not hard enough to break the skin, but it hurt nonetheless. Now, family members can tell the two apart based on a unique mark on one of their noses, but it is very subtle, and I cannot tell them apart. Before petting one of the cats, I ask if this is the one that bit me. Better to be forewarned. Now, the reason I cannot tell the cats apart is twofold. One, they look so much alike. And two, I'm not with them enough to really learn the difference. Now, if this is the case with cats, how much more it must be with sheep? Yet to a shepherd whose life is intimately bound up with his sheep, each sheep is unique. Yes, they all have wool, usually of the same color. They all have the same basic shape. There are subtle variations in color, size, weight, build, and personality that enable the shepherd to tell his sheep apart. If you or I go over and see a big flock of sheep, we would, if he said, "No, I want to introduce these next 50 sheep to you and I'm going to give you an examination," we would fail. We wouldn't be able to do it. But so it is with Christ's sheep. He knows us intimately. The Bible tells us he has loved us with an everlasting love. He set his love upon us in eternity past, and he will love us throughout eternity future as we enjoy perfect fellowship and unity, basking in the warm glow of his presence. In John 10, verse 3, we read of the shepherd that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In ancient times, several shepherds would bring their flocks at night into a single enclosure to keep them safe. In the morning, each shepherd would call for his own sheep, and they would recognize his voice and follow their own shepherd out for the day's grazing. Sheep that were not his own would wait for the voice of their own shepherd. Scripture tells us that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We belong to Christ, the good shepherd. He leads us to the green pasture of his word. Since we belong to him, he has a vested interest in each of us as his unique personal property. Truly and always, he has our best interest at heart. Whatever his unique plan for our life, it is always and invariably for his glory and our good. He's not like an earthly CEO who cares only for the bottom line. No, our good shepherd cares uniquely for each of us, his sheep. We had prayer requests from one of our churches last week, and it talked about a big corporation in their town that was splitting off into three corporations, and people were having to leave town and find employment in other areas. Well, Jesus is not like that. He doesn't say, "Well, this group of sheep is not very productive. I'll just sell them off." He doesn't do that. We belong to him. Christ's sheep are guided safely by the shepherd's hand. It is like a parent taking his or her child for a walk, learning about dangers like motor vehicle traffic. The other day, I saw my neighbor walking his 3-year-old son. When the two of them got to the corner, the father instructed his son to stop and look both ways and tell him whether it was safe to cross the street. He wants his 3-year-old to begin looking for that when he gets to the corner. Since motor vehicles are bigger, heavier, and faster, and thus a danger, that is a very useful skill to teach a child. Well, so the good shepherd guides his sheep. And so it tells us in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. God leads and guides his people. So this brings me to my main point this morning. Psalm 23 begins with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Whatever else the psalmist says in Psalm 23, this first declaration must be kept in mind. It is only two words in the Hebrew, Adonai Ro'i. The psalmist declares, "The Lord is my shepherd." Though it is pronounced Adonai out of respect and reverence, the word Lord in the original is Yahweh, the personal name of the true God. The word Yahweh is derived from the Hebrew word Hayah, a common word to be, become, come to pass. The meaning is brought out in Exodus 3:14, where God, speaking with Moses from the burning bush, responds to a question about his name by declaring, "Ehya Asher Ehya," I am that I am. Yahweh is the self-existent one, the one who always has been and who always will be, the unchanging one who declares the end from the beginning, the creator of all things and all people. And in the first two words of Psalm 23, David declares that he, a redeemed sinner, has a personal relationship with Yahweh. He is his shepherd. Yahweh, the God of heaven, is the shepherd. But more than that, this Yahweh is his shepherd. This is truly an astonishing thought, that the God of heaven could have a personal relationship with a sinful man. But it is true. David in Psalm 51 declares, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions," he says, "and my sin is always before me." He goes on, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Clearly, David understood that he was a sinner. Yet he, like Abraham before him, acknowledging his transgressions, was justified by faith, declared righteous by virtue of his sins having been imputed to God's Messiah, the Christ, who is to come, and the Messiah's perfect righteousness having been imputed to him. This is the only way a sinful man can be saved, by having his sin imputed to Christ and Christ's perfect righteousness imputed to him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Unless our sins are laid on Christ and his perfect righteousness credited to us, we cannot be saved. Only the perfect righteousness of Christ can fit a man or woman for heaven. There's no other way. David, saved by the righteousness of the Messiah that was still to come, the Messiah that would come in 1,000 years, declares him to be my shepherd. By faith, he claims a personal relationship with Yahweh, the living God. And by divine inspiration, Yahweh, the living God, the self-existent one, takes David and every person in every age who has come to him by faith as his child and his very own personal possession. I actually saw a little t-shirt the other day worn by a toddler. It said, something like this. I should have written it down. If I would have known I was going to use it as a sermon illustration, I would have gotten the wording exactly. But it says something like, I spent a day with Thomas the Train. And on the back of the shirt it said, Thomas the Train spent a day with me. So there's two different ways of looking at it. Yes, he spent a day with Thomas the Train. I'm not sure when that was or where that was. But I know that Thomas the Train is something that interests little boys. I can see I have some little boys' attention even as I say that. But if you spend a day with Thomas the Train, then conversely, Thomas the Train has spent a day with you. Well, so if we know that the Lord is our shepherd, then he's acknowledging, yes, I'm his shepherd. And truly, the Lord knoweth them that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. If you belong to Christ, then he is your shepherd. So I ask you, is the Lord your shepherd? Don't be quick to answer. Think about it for a moment. Remember the shepherd motif of Psalm 23. What does a shepherd do? He leads and guides his sheep. He takes them to the green pastures. He leads them beside the still waters. Sheep cannot drink from roiling waters. He leads them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads them through the valley of the shadow of death. He leads them even before the presence of their enemies that want to eat them for lunch. So is the Lord your shepherd? In one sense, the answer is pretty easy. Just ask yourself, do I follow him? Do I willingly go wherever he leads? Be honest. If you do not follow Christ, then he is not your shepherd. Psalm 23 is somebody else's mail. All the precious promises of the psalm are for another person, not for you. So often we hear Psalm 23 referred to at funerals. I've heard it cited at funerals of wicked men who made no pretense of following Christ. All their lives they lived for themselves, their desires, their pleasure. They had no time or inclination to follow Christ. They never read his word. They never attended church. They never sought the fellowship of those who love Christ. They did not desire the preaching of his word. They had time only for themselves, their business, their pleasure, their habits, their obsessions, people who made them happy. Sometimes a revolving door of people who made them happy. And yet the person giving the eulogy at the funeral service, a flatterer, not a true servant of Jesus Christ, would claim that the God of heaven was the deceased's shepherd, as though in life he had been a person who delighted to follow God. Is the Lord your shepherd? To determine this, just ask yourself, do I follow him? That's simple enough. Do I follow where Christ leads? Is it my heart's desire to follow Christ, to know him, to learn his word, to understand his will, to be his devoted disciple no matter what? There's a simple principle at work here. A shepherd leads, his sheep follow. As the shepherd, as the Savior said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10:27-28. And if you follow Christ, you will never be disappointed. He may lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Visualize the situation. You are not up on a mountaintop, you're down in a valley. You don't have an unimpeded view of where you're going. You've never been on this path before, yet you can go forward with confidence, resting in the fact that though the future is unknown to you, it is known perfectly to your Savior. The darkness and the light are both alike to him. Traveling through unfamiliar terrain can be extremely unnerving, especially if there's bad weather, or you're running low on fuel, or daylight is waning, or there are evident dangers, or the directions do not seem to make any sense. But traveling through the same unfamiliar terrain is not unnerving if you have an experienced guide. If a knowledgeable guide travels along with you, you can go on with confidence. On the road of life, there are sure to be surprises, roadblocks, detours, bridges out, construction, gridlock. Troubles and trials always seem to come at the most inconvenient times. The person without God has only his own resources, and he can never be sure that they will be enough. A tornado destroys his home. Does he have insurance? Does he have enough savings? He is struck with an incurable disease. Can he find a doctor who is knowledgeable enough to help him? Does he have sufficient health insurance? His wife suddenly leaves him. Can he woo her back? The banks fail. Can he survive? Yet the Christian can have complete confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. No tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As the hymn writer put it, if thou but suffer God to guide thee, we would say, if you just allow God to guide you, but let me read it as the hymn writer put it, if thou but suffer God to guide thee and hope in him through all your ways, he'll give thee strength whate'er betide thee and bear thee through the evil days. The Christian can face the future with confidence, for he knows that there's a God in heaven, and Christ sits at his right hand, reigning in undisturbed majesty forevermore. Amen. Is the Lord your shepherd? To answer the question, hear the words of our New Testament text, where our Savior says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you desire to walk in the paths of our Lord's commandments? Do you desire to be an obedient son or daughter? We all know child training is difficult. We've all seen a parent trying to teach his son or daughter to obey. When we're young and idealistic and hoping to start a family, we think that surely our children will obey. We dream of well-behaved offspring sitting quietly at our feet, hanging on our every word. But then we have children, and reality hits. Some children are compliant, and some children are defiant. But we know that deep down inside, like all fallen sons of Adam, they are rebels and in need to be restrained. All children need loving discipline, or they will destroy themselves in the end. If we are God's children, if we are the sheep of his pasture, do we follow him? Do we love him? Do we keep his commandments? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The motivation for obedience is love. That the only obedience that pleases God is obedience that proceeds from a heart of love. God's law requires us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we truly love him, then obedience will follow. Imperfectly, to be sure, but obedience nonetheless. Is the Lord your shepherd? If he is, then he will lead you unfailingly to his heavenly kingdom, for he is bringing many sons and daughters to glory. Is the Lord your shepherd? You only need to ask yourself, do I follow? May God grant all of us to be willing followers of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know, if we are honest with ourselves, that sometimes we have been like disobedient children who hear mother or dad say, do this. And their response is, I don't want to do this. Thank you, Lord, that David, in those first two words of the psalm, could say, Adonai Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, I know that David had his hard knocks. I know that he experienced your chastening in so many ways. But Lord, you were the one that inspired him to write those words. And when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, you were likewise saying, I am his shepherd. Lord, I pray that you will help us to love that New Testament text that we had this morning. If you love me, keep my commandments. Help us, Lord, to desire to obey you from the heart, to obey you not just because we want people to pat us on the back, but because we want to please you. Thank you that you are the good shepherd that unfailingly leads your sheep through the valley of the shadow of death to life eternal. We pray these things now in Jesus' name.